As I look back, I couldn't find that I've ever done what I'm going to do tonight, and that is preach Lord's Day for prayer day. So Lord's Day 50, but I'm up to Lord's Day 50, and that petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is what prayer day is a reminder of. So I'm preaching on Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism tonight. In connection with that, I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, I'll begin reading at verse 19. Remember that this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In verse 19, we read, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Thus far, we read God's word. So on the basis of this passage and many other passages of Scripture, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. You can find that in page 26 in the back of your Psalter. Lord's Day 50, which is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Let's pray and ask God's blessing in the preaching. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer again because we know our dependence upon thee as we hear the preaching of the gospel. We need to be reminded of the great need we have right now for the Holy Spirit to work in us, to give us hearing ears and willing hearts. We pray, O Lord, that our ears and hearts may be opened to hear this word and to address a struggle that we have in our own lives. And that struggle is trusting in thee like we should, even when it comes to the things of this earth. So easily we trust in ourselves, our own abilities, our bank accounts. We trust in man and the things of this earth. But we pray, Father, that even in the prosperity that we have in our age right now, that we would learn in all things to trust in Thee and to express that confidence that we have in Thee by coming unto Thee in prayer. And may our prayers then drive away the worries that we face in our own lives. So we pray that that would be the blessing of this word tonight, that this word about this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer would drive away all worry and anxiety from us, especially as it pertains to the things of this earth. Instead, that we would be those who are trusting in Thee for everything that we need. So that those wouldn't be just words we say, but that would be the attitude of our own hearts. Give strength to Thy servant, that he may proclaim this word in truth and for the glory of Thy name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the section of Matthew 6 that we read tonight, we see that Jesus understands one of the great struggles that we have in our own lives. And one of those great struggles we have in our lives is that of worry. We worry. We worry about many things, but now in a particular way, we can worry about the things of this life. It's important to understand tonight as we consider that worry really flows out of pride. Trust flows out of humility, but worry flows out of pride. We might not necessarily make that kind of a connection, but that's what happens when we're filled with worry. We think we're important just in the fact that we worry. We have all kinds of things going on, and we have all kinds of things that we're concerned about, worried about, anxious about, and that makes us feel important even by the very fact that we worry about these circumstances and these things. Or worry flows out of pride in this way. We place dependence upon ourselves to work our way out of a difficult situation. That's pride as well that is reflected in that worry. But the reality is that worry is not a sign of importance. Instead, worry is a sign of unbelief. Christ, our Savior, knows that we do this. He knows that we're prone to worry. He knows that we're prone to worry about the things of this earth, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we are going to live, and so many other things as well. We're inclined to worry about these things. We're inclined to worry about medical bills. We're inclined to worry when, unexpectedly, the washing machine breaks and we need a new one, or the car breaks down and we need a new transmission, and we weren't prepared for those things. Jesus Christ knows that sometimes we worry about work. Will there be enough business? Will there be enough work? How will that go in the coming year or in the coming years? He knows how prone we are to worry when we think about our children becoming older and then all the tuition that we have to pay and how will that be paid along with all of the other bills as well. And then sometimes it's all of those things together. Jesus knows how prone we are to worry about even having the essentials of life. And that's why he comes to us here in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, as we read tonight in Matthew 6, and says we must not worry. And here's why. Look at the birds and look at the flowers. Remember that God takes care of the birds and he clothed the flowers and made them beautiful. And they do nothing to prepare for that. It's all the work of God. And now remember, Jesus says, you have a Father who loves you and who will take care of every one of your needs. And when it comes right down to it, that's what happens when we worry. We forget. We forget that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Worry is the pride of unbelief. We don't believe that God is our Father. We don't believe what it is that He has made us His children and that He will take care of us perfectly. And so that's the backdrop for what we look at in this petition of the Lord's Prayer tonight. Now, we do so because these two things are connected. Jesus himself makes the connection. We didn't read the first part of Matthew 6. But if you go back to the first part of Matthew 6, do you know what you find there in the beginning verses? You find the Lord's Prayer. You find Jesus giving instruction about how to pray. And now it's striking that after he gives that instruction, he then gives instruction about the things of this earth. Food, clothing, shelter. And he tells us not to worry about those things. We see in the chapter itself, there's a connection between what Jesus says in the end of the chapter to what Jesus says when he gives instruction regarding prayer, and specifically this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. What we want to see tonight is that when Jesus teaches us to pray this, he is teaching us to see that on a daily basis, God is the one who provides all that we need. Praying for our daily bread deepens our faith in God in a world where there are constant worries. And really, that's the focus of the sermon tonight. That sentence there. Praying daily for our daily bread deepens our faith in God and drives away the worries of this world and the things of this world. And so with that in mind, we take as our theme tonight, fighting worries with daily prayer. Fighting worries with daily prayer. We notice first the needed prayer, secondly the needed knowledge of God, and then finally the needed trust in God. Jesus, in this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, teaches us to pray for our daily bread. Heidelberg Catechism explains, just in a very brief phrase, the meaning of that. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. We learn from the Heidelberg Catechism itself the meaning then of praying for daily bread. Bread stands for the necessities of life. Bread is not simply a food that we eat. It is, of course, but that's not the meaning of it here in this petition. But bread stands for all of the necessities of life. All that we need for the support of our earthly lives so that we can live here on this earth and serve God in our lives. So that means for us tonight, we should take a little time to consider, what is it that we really need? In our day and age, the line between needs and wants gets blurred. And because of the way not only our culture views things, but the way we might view things, we might lose all perspective of what we truly need. But is not the reality that there are many things we spend our money on and many things that we are shopping for that are beyond what we truly need? There, of course, are things that we need. We need food. We need clothing. We need shelter. We need especially clothing and shelter that corresponds to the place in which we live. I was reminded of that just being in the Philippines not that long ago. Their homes are very different than ours. In fact, there would be many, many homes that you would go to that wouldn't even have covering over the windows. They wouldn't have windows themselves. They wouldn't even have screens. They're just open to the outside. When you're living in a warm climate, you can have that. But because we have cold weather like we do right now, you need windows that close. We need protection from the wind and the snow and the cold outside. We need warm buildings in which we can live and where we can function and where your kids can go to school and where we can come together for church as well. But the reality is for us is that our society sets certain standards for what they consider is a necessity, what is needed. And that standard increases and that standard changes. Just think about how it has for those who maybe witnessed in their youth the Great Depression or remember some stories about it and how things are now and the standard of living that there is right now in our own country. How that's changed over time. So that we can't expect even that we ourselves or our children would have a perspective of someone who lived through that Great Depression. You see how things change in society and culture. But this we need to understand and know tonight, that we do not need to be able to go out for some fine dining once a week or even once a month. Or we don't need a 4,000 square foot house or bigger out in the country on a big acreage. We don't need vacations down south every year. We don't need a big screen TV. We don't need the iPhone 7. And we don't need a brand new this and a brand new that. Oh, it doesn't mean it's wrong to have any of those things. But we need to see and understand the distinction between what we truly need and then what's beyond and above that. Because certainly in our day of luxury where we live, God has given much more than what we need for our earthly existence on a daily basis. But now Jesus reminds us that we're to be praying in regard to our daily needs. And Jesus calls us to think about that not only as many individuals and even in our homes, but he calls us to think about that also in regard to the covenant community. Notice that the petition again is in the plural. We've been noticing that at times as we looked at the petitions. And in addition to that, that's been a focus of the preaching on the church of late. And that's important for us to remember as well. We're to think about this communally. We're to be praying for one another that God would provide the needs that we have. We can and should be praying for others. We pray for the care of the poor then as well within the church. We pray for our churches and schools that there would be enough so that the preaching of the gospel can go forth and our children can be educated in our good Christian schools. See, there's the danger as well for us that we think just individualistically about this, about the things of this earth. And Jesus says, no, don't just think individually about it. Think about it in regard to others. Think about it in regard to the church and the broader covenant community. Not just here, not just in our own denomination, but other churches as well. But now what Jesus teaches us here, which we want to see in connection with what we looked at or read in Matthew chapter 6, is Jesus teaches us to fight against worry for earthly things with this prayer. This prayer, give us this day our daily bread. What Jesus is teaching us is that we are to rely on God for everything that we need. The assumption that is built into this petition is that we will pray daily in the confidence that God will provide everything I need for the day. So that's the idea of the petition. God will provide everything that I need for this day. And this teaches us a way that we must combat that worry that can creep into our own minds. The worry about the bills stacking up, the worry about the financial responsibilities to come, the worry about all of those things. Worry, we understand it, it eats us up. Worry does. When we worry, for example, sometimes we can't sleep at night and then it can spiral out of control when we can't sleep at night. And then we think about not having enough sleep and then how am I going to do what I need to do tomorrow? And then how am I going to do the things the next? That's the way mind works when we're living in worry. Anxiety, we see and understand, is not limited to just a few times a week. We don't put a block in our schedule and say, well, this is going to be the time that I worry. Then I'll get it out of my system. The worry doesn't work that way. But worry feeds on itself, and worry can grow if we allow ourselves to continue in that worry and anxiety. And the reality is that opportunity is abound around every corner for us to worry about something. I was reminded of that as in our own family worship, we're reading about the people of Israel as they just entered into the wilderness after being delivered from Egypt. And what happened? Well, the people were worrying. They ran out of water. What are we going to do? They murmur and complain. They're worrying. Then they don't have food. They begin to worry. How are we going to have food? People of over a million people in the desert. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, Moses? It had been better. We've been back in Egypt and have the things of Egypt. They were worried. But God always provided. And God was teaching them to trust in Him, that He would provide everything that they needed through the wilderness and as they entered into the promised land of Canaan. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us tonight and teaches us to fight against this worry with prayer. And when it comes to the things of this earth that we need, to pray for those things that we need and the confidence that God will provide that which we need. We're reminded tonight that God is a God of providence and purpose. God is in control over all things. Things are not chaos right now. Things don't happen by chance. So often our own minds and sinfulness can go in that direction. But we're reminded by Jesus here in this petition that God is in control of all things. So we need to pray. We need to pray to Him. Now, who of us couldn't say tonight, as we're gathered for a prayer day worship service, I need to pray more. I never heard anybody say, I'm praying enough right now. I don't need to pray any more than I do. We all know that we need to pray more. One of the times where we especially need to pray is when we have worries. When we worry, sometimes prayer gets pushed out of the way. We're too consumed with our worries. But that's why one of the good practices for us in our homes is every time we eat, we pray. Every time we eat, we pray. So there's probably at least three times during the day that you and I are going to sit down and pray. And in those three times during the day, we are reminded as we give thanks to God for what He has provided, that He is the one who will provide all that we need. The evidence is sitting there right in front of our faces. And the evidence is what we smell as we smell that food sitting on our tables. Our God will provide. Jesus is teaching us to see and know that and to pray them in the awareness of that, to fight against all that worry and anxiety for the things of this earth. But now that's the idea of the petition. This is what we need to pray and how we pray this before God. But there's more to it than that. When we pray this, there are things that we learn. And that's what the Heidelberg Catechism is setting before us. What it sets before us, first of all, is a knowledge that we need and a knowledge that is given even as we learn to pray in a right way for the things of this earth that we need. Notice what the Catechism says here. That we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. When the Catechism says, and thereby acknowledge Thee, the idea is thereby know Thee, to know God in a right way. One of the ways in which we fight against that worry, even for the things of this earth that we need, is with a right knowledge of God. Prayer is one tool, but another one is thinking rightly about God. That's what Jesus is doing as well in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus teaches us that what we need more than food and drink is to know God. And we will stop worrying when we know God in a right way. To put it another way, it means this. Worry is suppressed by a right knowledge of God. There are two things that we notice. And the Heidelberg Catechism then brings up, and these are the two points under the second point of the sermon. The first is that we need to know that God, our Father, is the overflowing fountain of all good. And secondly, we need to know the blessing of God. We need to understand that God is a God who blesses His people. But the first thing is that we need to know is that our Father is the fountain of all good. That's what Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 6. In the verses that we read tonight, anxiety and worry are suppressed by this right knowledge of God. Go with me to Matthew 6 a moment. Verse 26, first of all, then we'll look at verse 30 and then verse 32. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Then verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And then verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So go back a minute. First of all, Jesus points us to the birds. Today, as I was thinking about this and working on this, just outside my study window, it doesn't happen very often, but often it happens in the fall and the winter, a hawk swooped in and landed right in the top of the hedge in the back of our yard. And the reason that he did was he was hunting. There are all kinds of sparrows that hang out in those bushes. And so he's after one of those sparrows. Now I think in the summertime when it's warmer out, there are a lot of other things that a hawk can find for food. But in the wintertime is when I see them swoop in on those bushes to find birds, because I'm guessing that it's harder to find other things. But then what Jesus said here was spoken powerfully to me in that. There are all those little sparrows. They don't put anything away. They don't have storehouses. They didn't plant seeds and then they grew and then things, and then they harvested and put them into barns. Those birds are living day by day and moment by moment. And who's providing what they need? God is. Now, maybe through the bushes in the back of my yard with the berries that grow on them in the summertime, or through your bird feeder. But in those ways, God provides what they need, and they're not storing up for it. And Jesus' point is, if God does that for the birds, won't He do that for us? You notice two things about that. First, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God not only in the lives of birds, but in our lives too. He provides the things that we need. He does that powerfully and sovereignly. He does that through work. He does that through the economy and the way that it is right now. He's in control of all of those things. He does that to the crops that are planted in the fields throughout this country every year. And even though there are advances in genetics and all the rest, so that corn and the soybeans and so many other things are more productive than they used to be, yet we understand and know that God is in control of all those things. He's in control. He's sovereign. Same thing with the flowers. But that's not the only point that Jesus is making there. The second point He's making is, if He takes care of the birds, won't He take care of us? And He will. Why? Because He's our Father. He's our Father. For the birds, He's the Creator. For us, He's our Father. He loves us. He gave His own Son to die for us. Will He not then provide for us the things of this earth? We remember then that our God is bigger than that pile of bills. Our God is bigger than the numbers that are found on those bills. And our God is able to provide that which we need. Now maybe it's not in the way we want. But he does. He provides. Our Father is the fountain of all good. That means he will and he does take care of you. What a beautiful idea. The fountain of all good. He's a fountain of goodness that never runs dry. And he is a fountain of goodness because he alone is truly good. And so we see and understand that in the things of this life, we must see it from that perspective. God is the fountain of all good. We need to grow in our understanding of this. We need to go deeper in our knowledge of God so that worry is driven away and we trust in Him. That's the first thing that we need to know. He's the fountain of all good. The second thing that Jesus teaches us about God through this petition is that we need the blessing of God. That's what we read also in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. And that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Here's what we have to understand what blessing is. We need to understand that blessing is not determined by abundance. It's not determined by how much or how little. It's not determined by the job that you have. It's not determined by how healthy you are. So that we would conclude if we're poor, if we're sick, if we don't have a very good job or we're not getting many hours, that must mean God is against us and we are not being blessed by Him. That's not what we must conclude. But it's easy for us to understand the attitude of God based on what we have, based on what we see with our own eyes. We can be so superficial that way, and that's what it is. It's being superficial about God. The reality is that riches don't do any good, for example, unless God blesses them. You look at that in connection between God's people and the wicked. The wicked may have many of the things of this earth, and often that's the case. They have much. They're the millionaires. They're the billionaires. They have so much and it seems so easy for them. Does that mean they're being blessed by God? No. It all works for their damnation. And one day they will receive the punishment of God in hell. But God's blessing means not simply that God gives us things, but it means that God is a God who has saved us from our sin and He uses whatever circumstances we face for our good. Do we always see it that way? That's a good question for us tonight. Do we always see it that way? Often we can talk about being blessed when things are going well. I'm so blessed because, well, landed a new client, or when we give God the credit, that's good. But we can give God the credit when things are going well and we say, yeah, we're blessed. But what about if we lose that? What if we lose our job? What if we get in a car crash and it wasn't our own fault? The car's totaled and we didn't have full coverage. I'm blessed. But that's the reality. I am. I'm blessed. I may not feel like it at the time, but I am because I know Jesus Christ. I am because of what I have in Him. It's not simply I'm so blessed because of X, Y, and Z, and these things have happened. Think of Job. Was it just that he was blessed when he had a lot, and then he wasn't, when it was all taken away? Of course not. The unbeliever has much of the things of this earth, but that does not mean that God blesses him. But we are blessed. We are blessed of God. And that must be our perspective always of the things of this earth. And Jesus teaches us that here in this petition. We need the blessing of God. I'll go back again to why we pray before we eat. Kids, why do we do that? We do it because we're asking God to bless the food and drink. That's what you're taught since you're a little child, as soon as you could talk. Lord, bless this food and drink. Might be one of the prayers that you prayed. And we give thanks to Him for it. That's part of it. We're also asking God to bless it. What does that mean? Well, we're asking God that what He gives to us would be for our good, so that we would have strength to serve and honor Him in our lives. And so part of what Jesus is teaching us in this petition is pray that we would know that we are blessed of God. We have the blessing of God upon all the circumstances of our lives, and especially upon those things of this earth that He gives us. That's what we need to know. We need to know He's the fountain of all good, and that He blesses what He gives to us. And the last thing we need is we need to trust in God. That's the Catechism too, the last part of Lord's Day 50. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. We must learn to withdraw our trust from all creatures. We don't place our trust in politicians. We don't place our trust in physicians. We don't place our trust in medicines. We don't place our trust in education. We don't place our trust in insurance. We don't trust in any creatures or any of the things of this earth or anything that man produces. That doesn't mean we may use them. There are means that God gives to us, of course, but there's a fine line between using means God gives and then placing our trust in that. And there are times we cross over that line and we're trusting in those things instead of placing our trust in the one true and living God. If we place our trust in things, if we place our trust in creatures, they will always disappoint. They will always disappoint. Because they come from creatures. But whatever God does can be trusted because He is the one true and living God. You see, nothing else can save us. Nothing else can give us what we truly need. The things of this earth, whatever it is we might place our trust in, they serve as very poor gods. There is only one God that we trust in. And that's what Jesus points us to in this petition, trusting in the one true and living God. We need to be directed to our Father. We need to be directed heavenward by Jesus tonight. We need to trust in God with the things of our earthly lives so that we can work and serve Him worry-free. That's the conclusion that Jesus comes to, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's a nice way to remember it. Some of us who have older children and who can run to the store for us and run some errands for us will appreciate this especially, and you have younger children look forward to the day when that can happen. But we have it in our home too. Since the older girls can drive, you send them to the store. We need something. You're going to be out anyway. Pick up a gallon of milk. Pick up a loaf of bread. We need this. We need that or the other thing. Now, the first thing that comes out of their mouths is not in a worried frenzy. How am I going to pay for that? Because they have the confidence that when we send them to the store, we're going to give them the money to buy those things. We don't expect them to pay for the things that are needed for the whole family. Anyone who's ever taken a business trip and your boss says you're going to go to such and such a place and you need to go during these days, same thing applies. Probably the first thing out of your mouth is, I don't have to pay for that. How's that going to be paid for? No, the confidence you have as an employee of the company is that that trip's going to be paid for. The airfare will be paid for. The rental car will be paid for. The meals will be paid for. The motel will be paid for. And your boss does that, and we as parents do that with our kids so that they can go do the work they're called to do without worrying about any of those things. That's the idea here. Our Heavenly Father says, work. Be busy. Serve the kingdom. And don't worry about the things that you need day by day. I'm your Father, and I will provide those things. Trust in me. Just as our teenage kids run to the store for us, trust, we'll pay them back for what they buy if we call them and tell them to pick these things up. Or we as workers, we put it on our credit card, trust that our boss is going to reimburse us. We have the same confidence, a higher confidence, that our Father will take care of all of our needs. Why? Because He's our Father. And He loves us. He's promised to supply all of those things. It's foolish. It's simply folly to think that He will not provide. So learn to cry out to God with that confidence. We learn to think with that confidence. So Jesus teaches us to pray. And He does that in our prayer day worship service tonight. We're reminded to place our confidence in God, rely upon Him. Why? He's the fountain of all good. He is the God who blesses us. We place our trust in Him because He's the sovereign God and because He's our Father who loves us for Jesus' sake. And we view the things of this earth from that perspective and pray from that perspective as well. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for this word. We pray that it would be a blessing to our prayers, but also, Father, that we would learn day by day to trust in Thee, not to worry. Not to worry about the bills, not to worry about the things that we need today or tomorrow or sometime in the future, but have the confidence that Thou will provide. And with that confidence, then, may we work hard in the callings that Thou hast given us to do, seeking first Thy kingdom. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.